Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 3, as I was just sharing with the children. This familiar passage of Moses being called from the burning bush. And of course, Moses at first is pretty hesitant about the job that God is calling him to do, but God encourages Moses in a couple different ways. He tells Moses, first of all, that he will be with him. And second of all, he gives Moses his name. He places the name Yahweh upon him and upon his people. And of course, we know that in the same way, in the tasks that we are given to do, God provides those same promises to us and more in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week we had a lot of people in our house. Since Max was baptized last Sunday, we had a bunch of visitors all at once from both sides of our family. My parents are still here. Hold on one second. Hi, Mom. You get to do that from the pulpit every once in a while. That's good. Anyway, last week when Katie's sister Victoria was here, she introduced Katie and me to a new HBO miniseries that she's been watching, which is called Chernobyl, and it's all about it's a dramatization of that infamous nuclear event that took place in Soviet Ukraine back in April 1986. It's pretty fascinating stuff. I think the series is very well done. It's a little bit difficult to watch in parts because of all the destruction and things going on, but really, I have enjoyed watching it. And you got to remember, you know, Chernobyl happened 8 months before I was born, okay? So I have personally gotten a big kick out of learning more about this really important historical event. And there is this one particularly dramatic scene that I've just been thinking about a lot throughout the week, and so I want to sort of describe it to you because I think it really ties in well with the theme for our service today. Basically, in the days just following the initial nuclear explosion, there was a concern that a second, even more powerful explosion could potentially happen because evidently there were these two big giant pools of water right underneath that nuclear reactor. And if that smoldering radioactive waste burned through the concrete floor, it was going to create this radioactive lava that when it came in contact with that water, it would create such a giant steam explosion, literally millions of people would have died. And so the only way to prevent that from happening was to somehow drain those pools of water. And the only way to do that was to send three plant workers to actually swim through that radioactive water and manually operate the valves that would drain those pools. It was essentially a suicide mission because nobody believed that anyone could possibly absorb that much radiation and live. And so in this miniseries, there's this scene where they've got all the plant workers in a room and they're trying to recruit three people to volunteer for this job. And one of the plant workers speaks up and he says, "You know that this mission is going to kill us. Why should we do this? What's in it for us? For what?" And that's when one of the Soviet politicians who's kind of over in the corner gets up and speaks up. And he says, in this real low, gravelly voice, he says, "You will do it because it must be done." And I was like, whoa, cool, what a great line, you know? I know I'm not going to get an Emmy for that performance, but actually, I am planning later on today, I'm going to post that scene to Trinity's Facebook page so you can go ahead and watch it for yourself because they do it way better than I do. But really, that the whole concept of a human being sacrificing themselves for the benefit of another, That's the kind of thing that makes for legendary storytelling, right? It doesn't matter if it's a real, true historical event like Chernobyl, or even if it's something completely made up. You know, like in episode 4 of Star Wars, when Obi-Wan lets Darth Vader strike him down so everybody else can escape the Death Star? I probably could have thought of a less nerdy example than that. As Christians, of course, we understand this concept very well, right? The whole idea that God sacrificed himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, that forms our whole understanding of the gospel. In a world where it seems like all anybody is ever doing is trying to figure out how to protect themselves, in a world where we are all preoccupied with looking out for number one, it is particularly intriguing whenever we see somebody else actually sacrifice for another, for the benefit of another. Someone who is intentionally and willingly putting themselves on the line, experiencing pain, experiencing loss, or maybe even experiencing death just to benefit somebody else. In some cases, simply because it must be done. In our Old Testament reading today, we have before us one of the more well-known calls for a self-sacrificial volunteer that Scripture has to offer us, right? The famous story of Moses in the burning bush. And obviously, we're not going to elevate Moses to the level of Jesus in terms of the importance of his service or anything like that. But there's no denying that God used Moses to do some amazing things, to liberate many people from the clutches of Pharaoh. The Bible tells us that there were over 600,000 Hebrew men, besides their wives, besides their children. So we're talking about probably over 2 million people that personally benefited from Moses putting his life on the line. Now, I say that knowing full well what's written here in Exodus chapter 3. And you heard me read it just a few minutes ago, right? When Moses hears that call from God, it doesn't really seem like he's a very willing volunteer. In fact, it pretty much seems the opposite of that. Moses' first reaction is recorded here in verse 11. Moses says, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So Moses looks inwardly, right? He looks at himself. He looks at his life. He decides God must have the wrong man. And you got to remember, of course, where Moses is coming from, right? So Moses actually grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was treated like royalty his whole life. And then all of a sudden, one day, he sees one of these Egyptian taskmasters mistreating one of the Hebrew slaves. And he loses his cool, and he kills the guy, right? He basically betrays Pharaoh by killing one of his hired men. And Moses runs away after that. And he doesn't ever intend on coming back. He is living a nice, peaceful life as a shepherd. He is taking care of his sheep. He's minding his own business. The last thing that Moses wants to do is go back into that hornet's nest. There is nothing that can personally benefit Moses from going along with this. Essentially, Moses is hearing this from God and feeling like this is a suicide mission. And so just like those Chernobyl plant workers, Moses is saying, why in the world should I do this? Who am I that I should be the one to have to do this? But you notice God's response in verse 12 here, right? So God doesn't say, you will do it because it must be done. God says, I will be with you. He says, but I will be with you. And on top of that, then God proceeds to give Moses his own name, Yahweh. I am who I am. Now, my question for all of us this morning is this. How many of us have had these kinds of Moses moments in our lives? And I don't mean you're talking to God in a burning bush, okay? Although, if that does happen to you, please let me know about it. I would love to talk about that someday. But how many of us have had these moments where we're called to do something that maybe we don't really feel like we should be doing, or maybe that we could do. Maybe it's just something we just don't feel like doing, something that's not in our best interest. And yet we know at the same time that if we were to answer that call, it would truly benefit somebody else. It would truly benefit our neighbors, someone else in our congregation, somebody else in our community, something like that. My guess is that this happens to us all the time, right? Because there's no shortage of needs out there in the world. There's no shortage of work that could be done or should be done, but oftentimes there is a shortage of volunteers. We think about this a lot at this time of the year, I think. I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, today is We're Smart, right? And so I know that We're Smart is the kind of event where it requires a lot of volunteers, a lot of help in order for that particular event to be successful for our school. Today is also part of Veterans Day weekend, right? And so we're also thinking about all of those who have volunteered and put their lives on the line for the sake of this country. Right? And we give thanks to God for people who are willing to do those things. Just a couple weeks ago, we had our October quarterly meeting, right? And every year, it's our tradition here at Trinity, in the October quarterly meeting, that's when we put forth the ballot that has all the names on it, right? People that we are hoping might serve on boards or as officers in the next upcoming year. We ask people to give of their time, we ask people to give of their talents, and the responses aren't always what we hope for. I mean, I gotta be honest, you know, every year when the nominating committee puts forth the ballot, I think, oh man, this is a great slate of candidates, and then over the next couple weeks, we just watch as it seems like almost a majority of people that were nominated will decline their nominations. I think maybe some of us have kind of looked at ourselves and thought, maybe I'm not the man or the woman for the job. Maybe even though God continues to call me with a letter year after year, maybe I'm just not that person. Maybe we start to think that, you know, 3 years worth of monthly meetings or whatever it happens to be, that's just way too much for the church to ask. Maybe just like Moses, we're deciding we're not talented enough or maybe not smart enough. Who am I? Who am I to serve? Sometimes it seems like it'd be a whole lot easier just keep tending the sheep or the cows or the corn or whatever it happens to be. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I know that that's not everybody. And if you happen to decline a position this year, I'm not mad at you. That's not what this is about, okay? Don't get me wrong. But my point is, this isn't Chernobyl. Right? Like, there's no impending disaster that's forcing us to do what we don't feel like doing. If all of us decided that we were just going to close the doors and never lift a finger for the kingdom again here in Hoyleton, guess what? Global Christianity would survive. We don't have God hovering over us saying, "You will serve on the school board because it must be done." It's not a life or death situation if you don't want to be an elder. But just like Moses, we don't serve because of who we are. We serve the Lord first and foremost because of who He is. As Christians, we don't look inward for the answers. We don't say, "Hey, what's in it for me?" But instead, we look to the one who has placed His name, Yahweh, upon each and every one of us in holy baptism. We look to the one who has already given us the ultimate example of self-sacrifice in His Son, Jesus Christ. It was His death on the cross, it was His resurrection from the tomb that provided the greatest benefit for the entire world. In Christ, there is hope that humanity can be saved from something that is so much worse than an angry Pharaoh or even a nuclear meltdown. In Jesus, we are rescued from spiritual destruction. When we turn to the Lord in repentance and faith, when we receive His gifts, His promises of life and salvation, when we are forgiven of all of the times when maybe we have been selfish and we haven't been willing to serve, God will never leave us. We are assured of the same thing that Moses was told from the burning bush. God will be with us. He will never forsake us. He will accompany us all the way throughout our whole lives. And at the end, he will welcome us into his heavenly promised land. But in the meantime, right here and right now, God gives us his name, Yahweh. He is who he is. And you carry that name with you into the world. You represent that name with everything that you say and everything that you do. The one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. May we serve that name with gladness. Not because it must be done, but because it already has been done by the mercy and grace of Jesus. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.